na chai tana prabhan sana jaya jaya goda na shiva sadhi go.
Following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Maharaj on May 6, 1982 in St. Louis.
Om Ajnana Himanindasya Gananjana Sadakaya Chakshushanamiritang Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manovistang Shtapitang Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadhati Swapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Shaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahabadannaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvise Namo Nama He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishwabana Suta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Jai Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaurakarinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukha Kuroti Bachalam Pangayate Giring Yat kripa tamahang bande sri gurum dinatarinam paramanandham madhavam sri chaitanya isharam.
I know that Murari Gupta was reading a thousand names of Vishnu, and then when he got up to the name of Lord Narsimhadev, Lord Chaitanya became absorbed in the mood of his incarnation as Narsimhadev, and he grabbing a club, he started roaring, and he ran outside on the street, yelling, I'm going to kill all those demons! He's running out on the street, and when Lord Chaitanya did that, then the people, they became all very afraid to see him roaring and running down the street. Then he could see the people were all running away, and then he came to his external consciousness, feeling that, well, it's not good to cause fear in the ordinary people. The Srivas or Murari Gupta, they said, well, everyone simply by seeing you, Lord Chaitanya, they have all been liberated. They've all been delivered. There are several 600 forms of Lord Chaitanya. Of course, the main one we know is Lord Chaitanya, two arms, Kamandalu and Danda. The two arms holding the flute, and two arms, one holding the bow and arrow of Ramachandra. So, one other six-arm form is there that some pundits say sometimes the Lord showed. With two arms is Krishna, two arms is Chaitanya, and two arms is Narasimha. In the Narasimha, the hands are, one is this way, and one is this way. One is up and one is down. Does anyone know why? The difference?
One is for ripping apart, the other one is for holding the entrance.
No.
One is for killing, one is for offering benediction.
Only the entrance. One is for blessing Prahlada on the head, and the other one's ripping apart.
You got one hand right.
So, Lord Chaitanya is the ocean of mercy. But within him, all the different avatars are there. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada would observe these appearance dates of Vishnu avatars. He would mention a little bit about the 10 avatars, or about a number of the avatars. Because they're all coming from Krishna. But we worship them in that relationship, not that specifically we set up different temples for each deity. Well, I haven't been to Andhra Pradesh to see all the Andhra Pradesh temples. Maybe Sika has been there. But I understand that there's one special Narsingha deity that devotees come from thousands of miles to see. And the deity is offered a mix of water and gur, made into like a gur egg. And one full glass is given by the devotee, and then they offer that with a tulsi down the throat of the deity. His throat, his mouth is open. They put it down. And apparently it makes a gurgle, 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 gurgle sound. And then the deity spits out half a cup of the gur drink. And that's given back as a prasad. You see that?
Yeah.
Let me give us more detail.
I was there with Bhakti Sudha, and we bought a big bowl of this gaur water. You buy it for 8 rupees, and then you take it in. The pujari does a special puja for you, and says your name, and deity, and things. Ask for special benediction.
Did you put in a good word there for Surda?
So what he does is, no matter what size the bowl is, you can buy different sizes. So he offers in a conch shell. He fills up the conch shell once, and he pours it down in the Shringadeva's mouth. And then he pours another one, and pours another one. When it gets halfway down, no matter what size the container is, he stops. He won't take any more. And he leaves the rest. He won't drink anymore. It just won't go down after half. And if the container's small, he'll drink half the small container and then leave the rest. Then they give you that as prasad.
Narasingha Bhagavad Ki
Jai!
Then there's another temple that is in this ferocious mood. So, understand the whole year they keep him covered with a thick coating of sandalwood. Visakhapatnam, you probably saw that near the main road. And then it's for us, so they keep him cool, they cover him with sandalwood. And once a year, I think maybe today, Vishnu Chaturdashi, once a year, they take off the sandalwood, and then again put, for one day, you can see the actual deity, and then they cover him up again with sandalwood to keep him cool. You saw that one too?
Yeah.
Detail?
Well, Vishakhapatnam is a beautiful temple. It's there's huge steps going for about half a mile all the way up, granite steps they built all the way up to the top of the hill. And there's waterfalls coming down and everything. Very beautiful setting. Andhra Pradesh is like real tropical. And then when you get to the top, there's the main temple, and inside there's many other temples, many temples in the Shringadeva. And it's a huge, all you can see when you go in for darshan is a huge, like a lump of chanda. Almost like, looks like a lingam almost, she bloomed, but it's just like chanda, And then, it was once a year for chanda yatra, they go and they take all the chanda off, thousands of people come, and they see it's Vrana Shringa, form of Vrana Shringa. Because they say that that form of Shringa Dev was the one that caught Balad Maharaj when he jumped off the cliff, or when he was thrown off the cliff by Nanakashipu, and he was caught by Brahma Shana. That's what they say. And then if they don't keep him covered with chandan, any demon or simple person sees him, just burn him to ashes.
That would be very purifying. Then, of course, after Lord Nrsimhadev performed the pastime of killing Hiranyakashipu, and then he washed his hands in that one lake, I think the devotees were in rock from it. Then he traversed over the, and he went to, flew over to Navadvip and rested there. So there, all the demigods, they took the form as villagers, and there were different hills, like Indratila, Upantila, different hills that they had, seven tilas, and they all came and were worshipping Lord Nrsimhadev like menial servants. This year during the parikrama, ISKCON devotees had the great fortune of visiting. And when they went there, there was the lake where the present deity was recovered, and then around it are the hills. So the devotees, whenever they find a nice lake in the hot weather, know how to take advantage of taking dips in the holy down. So Lord Nrsimha, in all the different incarnations, they always go to Navadvip Dham. Navadvip Dham is eternal Dham. Just like Ayodhya, Mathura. It's not that just when Ram Chandra came, Ayodhya became pure. Ayodhya was always the holy Dham. Because that's the eternal Dham of Ramachandra. So every time he comes there. Just like recently the Secretary of State went running here and there back and forth between Britain and Argentina. So whenever he'd go to Britain, he'd stop in his embassy. And whenever he went to Argentina, he'd stop in the embassy. Because that's like his home away from home, his home base. That's the American property. So like that, similar to some degree, the Supreme Lord, when he comes to the material world, he has got his particular dhams, which are directly under his personal internal potency's protection. And so, naturally, he'll prefer to rest or to have any pastime in his dham. So like when Lord Nrsimha comes, he knows that this is the place where I have my leelas in the Kali Yuga. This is a holy dham. Doesn't mean that just because the leelas done there in Kali Yuga, that other yugas, they cannot recognize that this is their eternal place. Even, for instance, there was a king called Suvarna, and he was a very materialistic king. He was always worshipping different demigods and trying to get opulence, material fame and power. Name, fame, and glory, it's the same old story. It's a new song by Srila Vishnupada. Didn't hear it? Name, fame, and glory, the same old story. So that's what he wanted. He wanted name, fame, and glory. He wanted money, he wanted profit. And he was doing so much to get a giving charity, worshipping the Brahmana, so many different things. One day Narada Muni came and told him that you're wasting your time. Why? You're simply wasting all your energy for this material world. The things of this material world will not last. You won't be satisfied. You don't know that you're living on the holy place of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You should worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu here, and you will get the complete fulfillment of all your desire. He explained who Lord Chaitanya was, how he was so merciful. So Suvarna, the king, even though it was before the Kali Yuga and the Yugas, he was worshipping, and Lord Chaitanya appeared to him. And he was just completely overwhelmed to have the holy darshan, Lord Chaitanya. Even it wasn't in the Kali Yuga, but Lord Chaitanya is always in his holy dham. He bowed down to the king, to Lord Chaitanya. The king bowed down, he paid his obeisances, he jumped up, he down. He was just completely fainting and getting up. And finally, he prayed to the Lord that, please don't forget me. Please don't, how can I, when will I be able to participate in your transcendental pastime? So then Lord Chaitanya said that, don't worry, you will take birth as Bhuti Manta Khan during my pastimes. So like this, there's so many different pastimes in the Holy Dham over the ages. So similarly, all the different avatars visit the Holy Dham and have their pastimes. Just like in the Dwapara Yuga, Balaram, he visited the Holy Dham of Mayapur and he killed the Mayasura demon. A demon called Mayasura, and that still there's the field where he killed him known as the Mayamara Mat, or the place where the Maya demon was killed. When Bhima took out the Rajasuya horse and he came up to Mayapur, at that time there was a king there called the King Samudra. So he knew that Bhima was a great devotee of Lord Shri Krishna, and so then he decided that, I'm going to attack Bhima. You know that how the Rajasuya goes, they send off the horse in a different direction. And if the horse goes through the kingdom without being obstructed, then that kingdom is considered to be under the domain of that king who's doing this Rajasuya sacrifice. If they obstruct the horse, if they capture it, that's war. So the King Samudra tried to capture the horse. He attacked Bhima, and he fought so furiously that Bhima was put into a very, very difficult situation. So much so that he thought that it was going to be the end. So that time, Krishna immediately appeared and saved Bhima, which is all that the King Samudra wanted. So immediately he paid his obeisance to Krishna and said, I just wanted to get your darshan. And countries, you know, that's the way they do things. So in that way Krishna also, he came to the holy Dham of Navadvipa. So like that, when Lord Nrisimhadeva appeared, he also came to Navadvipa, and he was there, he was being worshipped by the different demigods and devotees. In a very intimate way. The Jayadev, who wrote the song that we sing to Lord Nrisimhadeva, Tabakara Kamala Varina Kamaguta Singam Dalita Hidanya Kashiputa Vingam Keshava Drita Nara Hari Rupa Jai Jagadisha Hari. Jai Jagadisha Hari, Jai Jagadisha Hari was written in Jagannath Puri for Lord Jagannath, I believe. And but he actually also lived in Mayapur before he went to Jagannath Puri. There's a place not too far from the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya known as Jayadevpat. We also went by the Jayadevpat this year on our parikrama. Here's the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya, the devotees. Here's the parikrama going out unlimited length, heading towards the Jayadevpat. Here's some local villagers offering puja to our Nitai Gaur. And can I have one picture of Jayadevpat? Don't have it. That was the day we went fish tank for those ones. Anyway, here's looking over a long building. So Jayadevpat is just over here. Just opposite the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. Off in the field there. So, what happened was that Lakshman Sen was a great devotee, and he sent a message that he would like to see Jayadev and make him like his guru over poetry. Or when Jayadev heard that the king wanted to see him, he said, "No, I'm leaving Navadvip. I won't associate with any king, the worldly people, who is a pure brahmana. No, I'm leaving Navadvip, I can't stay." So then Lakshman Sen, he came disguised as an ordinary person, and he fell down at the feet of Jayadev, and he paid his obeisances, and he begged him that, "You have said you're going to leave Navadvip, but I want to beg you not to completely leave Navadvip, that I may be a king, but nonetheless I need the association of devotees. So if you could only just go to the other side of the river and live there, then in that way we would not be completely bereft from your association." Some appeal he made for him to stay in any case. So then Jayadev, he said, "I'll stay on the other side of the river. I was just testing you by saying that you're a worldly person, you're a king, therefore I won't associate with you. But I see that you're actually a Vaishnava. So you can come and see me, but you have to come in disguise. But because I said I'm leaving Navadvip, I won't go back on my word, so I'm going over to the other side, and I'll stay there." So that was at Chapahati. You went to see the Chapahati, remember that? Yeah. Gorgadadhar Temple. Here's in the Gorgadadhar Temple. Yeah. All the devotees are sitting. And that was the big Gorgadadhar by Baninath, I believe. Baninath or Baninath, other devotee. So Śrīla Lord Chaitanya has those deities carved. And nearby there was where our respected Jayadev lived. And the reason that's called Chapahati is because the champa flowers have got so many orchards there, these champa flowers. The Golok Champa. Have you ever smelled Golok Champa? It is just a very sweet flower. So sweet, so nectarine, that it's just like the like a spiritual fragrance. Apparently they're mentioned, Champa is mentioned in the Bhagavatam as one of the very pious, auspicious flowers. So these flowers are especially used to worship Krishna. The gopis used to come all the way from Vrindavan and pick flowers, the champa flowers, and bring them back for the Ras Lila. Some of the gopis had the special power to be able to do this. So all the orchards were there. But then as Kali Yuga came, then the local people started taking the flowers and selling them. So Hati means, like Namahat, Hati, Champahati means the marketplace of champa flowers. So today there's not so many champa flowers, you can still see many trees, but the name is still there, Champahati. So that was where Jayadev was living, in that forest of champa flowers, Golok Champa, and he was writing some poetry. At that time, Krishna appeared to him, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to him, and he requested that he wanted to see him in his two-handed form as Krishna. So then he appeared as Krishna, and then Jayadev was satisfied that he wanted to see Krishna in Navadvip. But the Lord then commanded him that he should go to Jagannath Puri, and that there he had important service he had to do, that Lord Jagannath wanted him. So like that, there's so many unlimited pastimes that are going on in the Holy Dham. So also when Lord Narsinghadev appeared, he went to the Holy Dham of Navadvip Mayapur. So do we take the opportunity of visiting the Holy Dham to become purified from offenses and to become fixed up in devotional service. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Siddhaita Giravasti Vasudeva. This was the order of Srila Prabhupada. Actually, Prahlad Maharaj, he was always remembering Krishna. This is his special quality, that Prahlad, he always remembers Krishna. He doesn't forget. When he was thrown into difficulties, thrown off the cliff or in different difficulties, he would never forget Krishna. Actually, he was the prince. He had unlimited opportunity to enjoy. His father had even defeated Indra. Every material opulence was at his disposal. But instead, he was always focused on becoming Krishna conscious. So this irritated his father to no end. But why his son could not just be the standard materialistic demon and maintain the family tradition? Why Prahlad had to be a devotee? When Prahlad was telling his father that you should not, he said, you are working for the enemy. He said, where is the question of enemy? For one who controls the senses, there's no enemy or no friend. Like that. He's equal to everyone. His father would get so angry. You think you are better at controlling your senses than me? Well, I'll show you. I'll kill you. You puffed up brat. Why don't you be a demon like I tell you? So, of course, even in modern day society, one can find some little bit partly perverted and partly similar reflections. I'm only hoping to be purified from that. I'm born in a family of demons. Naturally, I'm attached to material enjoyment, but I do not want it. I simply want to be a pure devotee and serve your lotus feet. So, we are advised on this auspicious day to take shelter of Prahlad Maharaj, pray for him, we can follow in his footsteps by our desire for pure devotional service. Thus, Name Bhakta Binashati, Lord Chaitanya Krishna promises, devotee shall never perish. Any questions?
It's not really on the subject, but I thought that you might not mind if I asked you if you could describe something about who Ganga Mata goes for.
I was just reading it in the audio room of volume 2, I think.
I know, but I just asked anyone else. Oh. She's one of the great female preachers in the Krishna consciousness movement. She gets a special blessing from her father, who was Lord Nityananda. She and Birbhadra Prabhu, Birchandra, they are born at Kordaha from Basuda. Two wives of Lord Nityananda, Janava and Basuda. Janava is Revati and Basuda is Baruni, Lord Balaram's two consorts. And still today, there's a shrine built for the samadhi of the umbilical cord of Ganga Mata Goswamini and Birbhadra. Of course, there's much more known about Birbhadra Prabhu. There's a whole book on it that gives the detailed leelas of Ganga Devi and Birbhadra. I know some of the pastimes of Birbhadra, but very few of Ganga Devi have. We're doing some research now on Ganga Devi. She married Madhav Acharya Das. Madhav Acharya, see Madhav Acharya. First, at one point they were living in the district of Burdwan near Krishnadas Kaviraj's birthplace. At one time they were also living in the district of Hubli. So in the district of Burdwan near Jamadpur, where that shrine was destroyed in a flood, and we're trying to procure the land and rebuild this small shrine there to commemorate that place. And the temple for Ganga Devi Goswamini in Hooghly district, we've just contributed 10,000 rupees to fix it up. But I haven't gone there myself. I was hoping that when I go there I would find out more details about her pastimes. But I understand that she also did some considerable preaching. Janava Devi, of course, had thousands of disciples and followers. And she attended the first Gaur Purnima festival sponsored by Narottam Das Thakur at Keturi. And Srinivas Acharya, Birbhadra Prabhu, Achyutananda, and many, many other second generation associates of Lord Chaitanya, those are the, because by that time already Nityananda, Advaita, the Panchatattva, they had already disappeared, but Ramai, the younger brother of Srivas, he went there. The two younger brothers went. And Raghunandan Thakur from Srihatta, Sikhanda, and many other devotees, literally 1,000 principal remaining associates went, and then thousands of their disciples, like Ramchandra Kaviraj, Shyamananda Pandit, I believe, also went with his followers. And then from there, Janava Devi went to see the birthplace of Nityananda, her husband. And from there she went to Vrindavana. And then she had some pastimes in Vrindavan. Somehow I believe that in some of these pastimes she's reflecting the personality of Ananga Manjari. There's the two, but I haven't understood exactly. And I haven't read any commentary by the Acharyas except that the Gorgona Desha Deepaka mentioned Prabhupada's, that she's both. So when she's in Vrindavan and other places, in Vrindavana, there was a very special pastime in Rana Kunda, but I don't remember this now. There was a special pastime in Rana Kunda. Either she got the Rana Kunda excavated in a big way, or something happened in Rana Kunda, I can't remember just now. But the Janava Devi was very active. She went to Vrindavan, and again she came back. I believe she went twice to Vrindavan. So for a lady, woman, you know, to walk to Vrindavan. She would always have, like when she went to Keturi, then she had with her Minikitan Ram Das, Vrindavan Das Thakur, so many different, Nityananda Parshad, Abhiram Das Thakur, and many other. I believe that Ganga Devi Goswamini is actually an incarnation of the Mother Ganges. I think it's mentioned in the
And the Huchime Madhavacharya must be Maharasantana. She always lived on the Ganges.
Is it also true that Jagai and Madhai were incarnations of Chandravija? The reason I ask is because they were supposed to take three births, right? But then I thought that that would be their fourth birth if they took birth in Chaitanya Lila.
They took birth in Chaitanya Lila because three births was. They were killed by the Lord, but the fourth birth they were liberated. They were given Krishna prema. Oh. You see, because they said that the Chankasi was the Kamsa of Chaitanya Lila. So if he's the Kamsa of Chaitanya Lila, that would put him. That was my confusion. That would put him as one of Jaya Vijaya, because they came as Kamsa and Sisupal. Isn't that how it works?
Is that
it? Well then...
Yeah.
Dantavakya and Sisupa. Yeah. And Kamsa just another. So, Chankasi is Kamsa.
I was just recently reading Krishna book again, and I thought that there was something that I didn't understand all this time, that, and Srila Prabhupada describes in the third canon about how his devotees will take birth as demons, you know, to assist him in his pastimes, and sometimes he likes to fight, so he wants to fight with his devotees. So I just wondered that it seems like when you read Krishna, though, sometimes you see that it just seems that it's an ordinary demon, or it's not explained so much. But then in another place, Srila Prabhupada said that when Krishna fights, he just wants to fight with his devotees. He doesn't want to fight with just anybody.
Another place, Prabhupada said that we shouldn't think that every time Krishna wants to fight a demon, that a devotee has to fall down from the spiritual world so he can do it.
It may just be like demons in one of the camps or something.
I thought I saw your hand. What happens when you have a late prasada? All the blood is run out of the head. How did you like the preaching in South India?
It was exciting. It was expanding.
Talking about the cards?
Sanskrit
buttons?
In the Dukkha?
And how we give out in the...
Oh, all the cards, yeah. When there's a large function, Charyapani has these special cards that are like kind of a little contract that he passes out through all the crowds there, the Indians really love it, that says that they vow to chant one round the Hare Krishna mantra on the beads every day, at least one time a day. So he gets the people to agree in the crowd that they'll chant one round of the Hare Krishna mantra if there's anybody that doesn't object to doing this. And many people raise their hand and says, okay, come up and get your card. And then they come get their card and they all fill it out that they agree. I such and such agree to chant one round of Hare Krishna. Then they bring it back and Charyapad signs it and it's segregated, so they get to keep one card.
They keep the certificate. It's got Prabhupada's picture about Chaitanya's picture. Certifying that he promised with the Hare Krishna mantra, Panchasatya mantra. We get the foil that has a name and address and everything.
Do they keep their vows?
This big, big line.
People are very serious.
Yeah.
Very serious. They take it. I met one person, he started off that way. What happened, there was this guy called Mr. Poda who came to see me, and there were so many people, it was like giving a darshan, like there's so many Indian people and some of the devotees in Bangalore. Calcutta, that would just be a firecracker. You don't love firecrackers. So we were preaching to the and then he came up and he was asking so many questions, and so he was kept challenging the personality of Krishna, and I was trying to present that Krishna, Supreme Personality, personality of Godhead. And then he said that, make a long story short, he just kept insisting different ways that, about impersonality, like real Mayavadi. So then he said something that, well, we want, you know, to merge or something like that. And I became very impassioned and I said that you take your lunch and you have here your chapati, you have your rice, you have your dali, you take it and merge it, and then eat. He says, we're disgusted by this merging. We want the vaichitra, variety of Krishna's personality, Krishna's pastimes, Krishna, everything, it's all transcendental. And, so then in the end, I gave the same appeal to him that you should chant 108 times. So then, I told him that this is the order of Lord Chaitanya that I have to beg you to please chant. So I'm begging you to please take up this chanting of Hare Krishna. And he was so startled that after the whole hour discussion, he agreed, he signed up. So that night we had a panda program outside. I went outside to the panda program at 103 fever. And came back in. And then this one Mr. Agarwal came. He's a real friendly life member that always hangs around there. And he came back and he said that I am the director. He said, you did not know who that Mr. Podar was. He owns 43 companies. He's worth something like 500 crores of rupees or something like that, like $500 million. So that he never, ever bows down to a Krishna deity. He's an Arya Samaji. They don't believe in worshipping a deity. And he's never agreed to do anything. He said, because no sadhu ever begged him to do anything before. And that somehow he took it up seriously that when I was driving him home, he said, I promise to chant Hare Krishna. I'm going to chant starting tonight. He had his beads and he said, and he went in the car, he's already going home and he started chanting his Hare Krishna that night. So the Agarwal was one of the directors of his company. So he said, this is the biggest thing that ever happened. This guy never did anything, you know, of this type ever before. So I said, this is a big breakthrough. So in response, I mean, the people do it. I mean, obviously there's some people probably forget. But in general, many people take it very seriously. That's why we take their name and address to send them reminders, to keep the contact. Otherwise, surely they will forget. But in general, they do take it very seriously. They have that tradition, you know, that if they promise, especially we make it, it's a whole ritual. They come up and bow down before the deity. They offer a flower. We give them a flower. We put the seal on it. They take it, touch it to their head, and then they come out. You know. Sometimes we make them chant Hare Krishna over the microphone. And then someone announces, this is, you know, Gopalacharya, you know, Mr. you know, Rangabhati Gopalacharya Wada. So by the time they come out, I remember that this getting people to chant Hare Krishna, I found it to be a very inspiring thing. I had a big fight with on this issue with Gokul Chandra. Who's the, you know, the big, he's in Korea right now, he used to do a big book distributor. Anyway, Yogesh Chandra. That we had given 2 million books out in Bengal, and people were coming up, they read the book, they'd come up to the devotees, and they'd say that I agree with your philosophy. Says, now tell me what to do, I want to become Krishna conscious. So then we would, you know, the distributor naturally would say, well, buy another book. So, you know, either he buys another book or doesn't have any money, so what next, you know? So then they say, well, why don't you move into Mayapur?